So Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time that the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. So this is Epiphany Sunday, and this is the standard passage to read on Epiphany Sunday. It's the celebration of when the three, sometimes called kings, the three wise men, the three magi, arrived to worship Jesus, to give him gifts. And I briefly thought about entitling this sermon Jesus' Baby Shower, but then I thought better of it. There are gifts given to a child and his parents, but otherwise this passage does not describe what we think of as a baby shower. In the 21st century, baby showers don't usually involve foreign dignitaries who arrive uninvited. At least the Magi didn't have to play party games. So what is going on in this story? Well, there are loads and loads of things about the birth of Jesus that are unusual, and we've been hearing and rehearing this story over the last few weeks from both Matthew and from Luke. Angel announcements, dreams, long journeys, more angels, shepherds, and now these guys show up. Magi, or wise men from the east on a quest following a star. The story is told in Matthew 2 using space markers, where events occur, and time markers, when events occur. So just look for those markers as we're taught. Let's talk through the story and hear it once more. Where and when things happen. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." So from the beginning of the passage, we see the story is set in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. But our story opens in Jerusalem, not in Bethlehem. Magi from the east arrive in Jerusalem and start asking around, "Where's the new king of the Jews? We saw his star rising. We want to pay homage to him." News of the Magi and their quest get back to King Herod, who is the current king of the Jews. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Herod was frightened at the news of a new king of the Jews. He associated the phrase king of the Jews with Messiah and asked the religious leaders where the Messiah was supposed to be born. He got an answer. Bethlehem in Judea. Okay, now he had information to work with. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage." Notice that the Magi didn't go to Herod for information. Rather, they were asking around, and word of their quest got to Herod. When Herod found out the answer to their question, which he did a little research on, well, he had other people do the research, and he called them and told them where to go next. Notice that Herod thought that the Magi would do what he told them to do. Other historical sources from the time note that Herod liked having spies around and gathering information secretly. That's probably how he heard about the quest of the Magi from the chat in the city. It seems like he wanted to add them to his network of agents. Go find the child. Tell me what happens. The Magi acted on this information from Herod, and the scene of the story shifts from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. So the Magi got the information they needed about the birthplace of the one they sought on their quest, the King of the Jews. They saw the star again, and it stopped over the place where their quest ended. At this sign that their quest was coming to its culmination, they were overwhelmed with joy. They found the child, Jesus, with Mary his mother, and they paid this king homage and presented him with gifts. Then they were warned in a dream about collaborating with Herod, and so the Magi returned to their own country without returning to Jerusalem. Not so much a part of Herod's spy network. This is a story about two kings. Jesus, the one the Magi said was born king of the Jews, and Herod, the current king of the Jews. Herod had been appointed king of the Jews by the Senate of Rome. Herod knew what it was to gain his power and title through devious means and back channels. And he feared this newly born child, Jesus, whose sign in the sky designated him the King of the Jews. Notice that the Magi aren't kings. Magi served in the court of kings as advisors and court magicians. They studied the sky, both observing the movement of the stars and interpreting what those movements might mean for people on earth. So they kind of worked at a combo of astronomy and astrology, right? Jen studying astronomy, but they were also sort of combining that kind of study, looking at the sky, measuring things, timing things, with astrology. Well, what does that mean for people here on Earth? And what does that tell us about the future and so on? Jen doesn't do that part. I don't think, anyway. No, okay, good. Just checking. This group of Magi arrived in Jerusalem looking for the King of the Jews. They had seen a sign, they'd seen a star that would indicate an important person had been born, and they wanted to track him down. Jerusalem was the logical place for them to look for this newly born King of the Jews, as it was the capital of the area. We're not sure exactly why this group of Magi decided to undertake the journey to find the King of the Jews. Possibly the sky sign was so intriguing to them, they thought the journey necessary to see what it was all about. Possibly they were out of work court magicians looking for a new king to serve. So sort of a job hunt, traveling on SPAC. We don't know what their exact motivation was for undertaking the quest. But we do know what they searched for and what they intended to do when they found the object of their search, because their only recorded speech clearly tells us what they were doing. Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. This is their quest summarized. When the Magi were summoned secretly by Herod, remember Herod the king, partly because he was the pro at secrecy, working back channels, devious means. The gospel does not say that they paid King Herod homage. Herod assumed they would answer his questions and bring him back news of the object of their quest. Herod took it for granted that the Magi would serve him, the current king of the Jews. It seemed like he might not have been completely forthcoming with them, made it seem like he wanted to join their quest. Maybe he thought a little trickery was necessary, devious means, remember, he's a pro, to get them a little bit on side. The Magi continued their quest to Bethlehem to find the king whose star they'd seen, the king they were really searching for. When they arrived at the place marked by the star, they found Jesus with his mother and knelt down and paid him homage. That is, they gave Jesus an outward sign of the profound respect they had for him and acknowledged him as the king whose star they'd seen. The Greek word which is translated homage in the translation of the Bible we commonly use, the New Revised Standard Version, can be translated worship and is translated worship in other places. It involves physically getting down on the ground before someone with your face on the ground. And in the present day in Canada, in our democratic and secular society, we don't often see people bow down like this in front of another person. I wonder what Mary thought when these magi from the east, these foreign students of the sky, arrived at the Bethlehem house and bowed down to her child. Even if this practice was more common in that time and place than it is now, it probably wasn't what she was expecting to happen. But after the angels and the shepherds, who knows how her expectations had been altered. It was probably one of those memories she tucked away for future reflection, treasuring it up in her heart with everything else that had happened. Worshipping or paying homage to Jesus, the Magi showed with their whole posture, their whole body, their estimation of this child's authority and status. This was the king they were looking for. This was the object of their quest. Paying homage to a king has been a common practice through history. This is the way subjects of a human king show their loyalty. They acknowledge the authority of the monarch with their whole bodies, not just with words. This is part of the reason I wonder why, whether the Magi who were looking for Jesus were looking for a new court to work in. They sought a king to pay homage to, a king to submit to, and possibly to join the court of this king. I wonder if Joseph had to sort of say on the side, look, I'm a carpenter. There's really no spot for Magi in the household. Don't know what to do here. But the Magi had no loyalty to King Herod. They were loyal to Jesus. It's perfectly clear from the way this segment of the story ends. They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, and they didn't. They'd given no allegiance to Herod, paid no homage to that king. They owed their allegiance to Jesus, however they understood that allegiance, because we don't know for sure how they understood that. So how do we understand this story as speaking to us in the here and now, in Toronto in 2020? What on earth do astronomers who saw a star sign 2,000 years ago have to do with us and with our lives? Well, there are a lot of threads to pull in this story. The Magi are Gentiles, non-Jews, and their inclusion in the people who recognize Jesus at his birth speaks to the global reach of the gospel. a gospel which still reaches all parts of our world. The Magi gave gifts to Jesus. We are also called to give gifts to Jesus, whatever that may mean. But what I want to talk about is what it means that the Magi acknowledged Jesus as king. Jesus was the king they sought. This child, this powerless boy, not Herod the Great, who had ongoing building projects in Jerusalem with an appointment from Rome itself. The Magi acknowledged Jesus as king of the Jews and physically bowed down to his authority. Jesus had their allegiance. So who is our king? Whose authority do we acknowledge in our lives? By being here, by taking communion, many of us would say that we acknowledge that Jesus is our king. We physically participate in this, in the sacrament of communion, and that's our one way of acknowledging Jesus as our king. We follow Jesus. We acknowledge his authority. Well, what does that mean tomorrow on Monday? What does that mean for our lives in 2020 in Toronto? If Jesus is our king, then we seek God's kingdom. If Jesus is our king, then we seek God's kingdom, not our own kingdom, nor any other kingdom. One of the things that's clear in the Gospel of Matthew is that in God's kingdom, preference is given to the poor and the powerless. It's clearly shown throughout this Gospel where anyone in a position of power, whether political or religious, is portrayed as untrustworthy and aligned against Jesus, as is the case with Herod, who clearly shows his colors later in this chapter. Jesus is himself a king with nowhere to lay his head. It's easy in our daily lives to seek out our own small kingdoms, to look for ways of increasing our influence and power. But in God's kingdom, it's the poor, the powerless, those who are on the margins, who are preferred. And I still find this an ongoing challenging to my own thinking and living. And I'm sure all of us do, living in 21st century Canada, where that kind of thinking is not prevalent. If Jesus is my king, then I seek God's kingdom. God's kingdom is a place where preference is given to the poor, the powerless, and those on the margins. Who is our king? Is my question for us.